That's written about my side. I can read that. That's good. I reached my 70th birthday, and that is marvelous in and of itself. But I'm glad to be here with you today, and glad that we can still get a few notes out, and it will get better in heaven. But 1 Peter 2:25 is where I want to begin today. And sooner or later, we'll get another newsletter off telling you what we did last year. And this year up until now, we really don't have a schedule out in front for you to pray about. I'm kind of going about a month at a time, which is never the way it was. We were always scheduled a year and a half in advance, but things have sure changed in so many ways. It's a wonderful thing to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I would be absolutely undone in this world the way things are without knowing the Lord. But he anchors our soul, doesn't he? And things are pretty steady. We saw the Lord bless us through all the shutdown. I'm saying it like it's past tense. I think it ought to be, but I'm not a medical doctor, so I really couldn't say, but some of it's medical and some of it's political. I know that it's a terrible flu if you do get it. But 1 Peter 2:25, I think that there are probably at any given point in time in Wisconsin a dozen or so Baptist churches that are without a pastor. We will be going next month to Baraboo. They're still looking for a pastor there. And I know you are looking and praying, and maybe what I bring today will be a help to you. And I hope to bring something maybe that's not just the most obvious bit of information. And now that I have a phone, I don't wear a watch, and I ought to wear a watch. So I read the time off my phone. Well, sort of. And I will try not to be too long. I want to bring some helpful information. And so we'll begin. Let's stand together and read this verse out loud. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25. And then we'll be jumping to some other places. But this is where we want to end up, pretty close. So we'll begin here and end here. And so read with me. Let's go back to verse 21. Verse 21 down to the end of the chapter. 1 Peter 2, starting with verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called. And you go ahead and read with me. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And then our verse that we're preaching from, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And of course, that is the Lord Jesus, as we saw from the earlier verses. Let's pray, and then we'll bring you a message on Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of our soul. Father, would you bless, give me Holy Spirit power and strength. Bless these folks. They've come to hear from heaven, not from me. And Lord, help these stammering lips to bring praise to thee. May it be a practical and a real help to somebody today, and really, we hope, to many. And so, Lord, take thy word and use it here. If there are those who need to trust thee as Savior today, may they do so. And if there are those not walking with thee, help them to do so today and get things right with thee. And may it answer questions others may have in their hearts while they're going through a period without a pastor. Again, Lord, we've known six of them, so we know that there's been changes from time to time. But Lord, would you bless and work in every heart and life, and we'll be thankful for that. me true or trusting thy blood, even to make me fit to deliver the word of God. But bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated then. Be seated. This verse became a blessed verse to me, in particular, after an experience that I had. I learned, and we'll see a verse or two in a little while. As I became a Christian, I then learned that it was good and that we ought to have a local church that we're a member of, and we ought to have a pastor. And that was all well and good. And one day, through a series of things that happened, my pastor and I were talking, and he said, "We are not keeping you on the staff any longer." I said, "Well, I don't really want to leave. I want to stay faithful right here in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, at the Wildwood Baptist Church." And he said, "No." There was no debating it. There was no negotiating. And then I said to him, "Well, what do I do?" I was very used to just running those kind of things by my preacher and being very happy just working at my home church where everything was pretty much prescribed for me. And he said to me, "You're entering a new phase of the ministry." That doesn't explain a whole lot. Didn't to me. And so I asked him again, "What does that mean, a new phase of the ministry?" And he said again, "You're entering a new phase of the ministry," a little more forceful. I waited a while, and we said a few more words, and then I said, "But what is the new phase of the ministry?" And he just looked at me and said, "You are entering a new phase of the ministry." And I realized something, and we know that, but pastors are human too. He's not God, and he did not know, maybe could not know, if God wouldn't tell him, what God's will was for him if it wasn't to be the music director at the Wildwood Baptist Church. And that left me out on a limb. I came back to him a week or two later, and I said, "Well, am I sent?" And he reminded me that we had a service years back where they laid hands on four of us and said, "When the Lord moves, the church has already voted to send you." So he said, "Yes, you're sent. You need a letter?" I said, "No, that's good enough. I just need to know that I'm not some kind of a renegade." But what I discovered was I was out on my own, and Pastor never said much more after that, never checked in with me. And so I got a little two-year calendar planner, and out on the road we went, and we began to travel around to churches, which we did ever since until my heart attack stopped me from traveling. And he was not there to ask any questions of, and he didn't have any answers. I knew if I asked him again, we might have a real problem. I did not think to ask him more than three times. And I said, "Lord, he doesn't know what phase of the ministry I'm entering. And I don't either. But oh, what I discovered is an earthly pastor is just a very imperfect representative of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we call him an under-shepherd. But Jesus is still the good shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd. And here it says that he is the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Do you know that the word shepherd and bishop and pastor and pasture are all the same? A bishop, we've made something else out of it, and some other kinds of churches make even more out of it, but it is simply that, a shepherd. If my pastor couldn't tell me. My earthly pastor could not tell me what to do. The shepherd and bishop of my soul, the Lord Jesus Christ, could still speak to me. And he did. We were largely left out on our own. And it wasn't until my pastor, Howard Nelson, retired and Randall King became the pastor that he would call once in a while and go, "How you doing? What you doing?" Up to that point, nobody was even asking where I was going or what was happening. And I figured if I really trip over my feet or mess up, those churches will be calling my pastor and he'll hear some things. So I had to do a lot of praying. But what a wonderful thing to know, though I was not without a pastor, that Jesus was the pastor of my soul, so to speak. And when you're in between preachers, and I say that believing that God will send you a good pastor soon, but when you're in between, it's a wonderful thing to know that the Lord will still shepherd you. And we've said it, we've probably prayed it, we've read it in Psalm 23 probably many times. But we get used to things as they are. And being on a church staff, I was used to just going from day to day and finding out from week to week at the staff meeting what pastor wanted done next. And I didn't ask a lot of questions of the Lord. I didn't really ask a lot of questions of Howard Nelson. He sort of said, "This is what we got to do. We've got to aim this direction." And then all of a sudden, I was left on my own, and I had to learn to go to the Lord to get my answers, even though I knew all along, the Lord is my shepherd, and so forth. I found a verse back in Jeremiah 3 in verse 15 you might want to look at, and I was encouraged by it, and it might be a way for you to pray and something for you to think about and a verse to latch onto to encourage you. I'm right in the middle of the chapter here, but in Jeremiah 3 and verse 15, it says, the Lord speaking, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Even in the Old Testament time, and I know the church is not Israel and Israel is not the church, but we both were congregations of sheep. And the promise there was he would give them pastors after his own heart. Now, I'll get ahead of myself, but there are some that aren't pastors after God's own heart. And that's why you need to pray, and that's why you need to look into the things before somebody else comes in and fills the pulpit. In Jeremiah chapter 23, again, this business of pastors that God gives. And that's my first point, really. Jeremiah 23, verses 3 and 4. It says, "And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them." God says, "I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." So this, I believe, is a future prophecy for the people of Israel. But notice, when God sets up a pastor after his own heart, that his people will be gathered, they will be brought together, they will be fruitful, they will increase. No fear, no dismay, and no lacking. And then in verses 5 and 6, he goes right on to talk really about the Savior, about the Lord our righteousness, it says there, and how God would raise up a Savior and so forth. And I don't know that we'd have time to come back to that, but a wonderful passage. And so we see that we need to pray, "Lord, send us the pastor you want. Send us one after your own heart." I think it's a disappearing calling, honestly. I have talked about this much. There's two generations already after me. But pastors are a disappearing people. What does a pastor really do? In all the verses, and I'm trying to stay shorter, we could be here for hours, but one of the things we find out is that a pastor has to feed the sheep. If he does nothing else, he needs to feed the sheep with spiritual food, with the Word of God. And there's really much Bible teaching all this, but I don't know that I've ever read a book on it. I know the First and Second Timothy are pastoral epistles, but I'm saying a book to lead and guide young men that believe they're called of God to pastor to a right way. You say, what are you talking about? Years ago, I think the preachers had a better understanding. Reverend John Fawcett over in England, some little town with a small congregation, and who knows, 100 and some years ago now, maybe more, pastored a small congregation. It wasn't going to grow. It wasn't going to go anywhere in our modern terms of growth and what we think about with that kind of thing. But he and his wife faithfully ministered to the people, and they were happy until one day he had an opportunity to go to a large church in London or Oxford. If that is in London, I don't know. I never did get to visit Great Britain. But anyway, he was all excited. He finally could get a good paying job and have a lot of influence on a lot of people in a big congregation. They were all packed up and ready to go. And I don't know if his wife spoke or he spoke first. And I think she said, I can't bear to go, John. Look at all the people were standing there watching them leave. And he looked at her and he said, I can't either. That's a pastor. He knew God has called me to be an under-shepherd to these people, a bishop, to these people. And it doesn't matter that I have something that looks like I'm going up the ladder of success. I need to stay with these people and keep ministering with them. That's the heart of a pastor. I like to hear it if a preacher says, I'm planning to stay here, and I'm never going to leave. And I know God can change plans, and I never know why. I couldn't understand it if I lived to be 300. But just caring for and feeding a singular flock all their life. Do you know, I don't know, how many of you here ever knew Ralph Williams, member of this church? Ooh, we got one. Was that two, Brother Ted? No. Ralph Williams' son graduated, the first graduate of Fairhaven Baptist College in Chesterton, Indiana, went out to Western Pennsylvania, Seneca, a little place. It's really called Cranberry, and it's, that didn't sound elegant enough. They changed it to Seneca, but anyway, Indian name. And he's been there since he got out of college, and he is still, and I hope God heals him of it, but even with cancer, he's still faithful there, pastoring those people. And you know how folks come and go. But that, I think he still has that biblical idea. I'm shepherding these people. I'm feeding them. They still need to be fed tomorrow and the next day and the next day. They still need an earthly pastor, and I will be that pastor. I will care for them. I will feed them. What did Jesus say to Peter in John chapter 21? Lovest thou me? And of course, Peter got irked by it, but Jesus asked him three times, and he said, thou knowest, but then Jesus said, feed my sheep. The second time he said, feed my lambs. The third time he said, feed my sheep. A pretty simple three-point message, isn't it? Feed them. Feed them the Word of God. Feed them Bible, the living bread. Feed them what they need to get through this life. Feed them with the words of eternal life. Feed them with the words of abundant life. And that's what pastoring was all about. Once in a while, you still hear it when Someone says, well, I was pastoring, now I'm going into evangelism, and a few people will mumble, what's the matter with them? They were called a pastor. Why are they going out in evangelism? And leave a church. But there's some warnings, and let me see. We got a few minutes yet. We know, that, and you probably looked it up and been reading it, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it just because of that. Everybody would have their own little slant as to what degree of perfection you might demand out of an imperfect man. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, I can at least read a little bit about it. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. You know, that's a very difficult list. And every man ought to desire that. It's a good work, he said. It doesn't mean God will call you to it, but you ought to go down the list and say, am I living this way? Not just the pastor, but am I living this way? We should. A very high calling, but none of us are perfect. And like I said, every individual congregation could argue about, you know, how far they take every one of those qualifications. And I've seen some that are ready to cancel the pastor at the first sin. But anyway, I think we need some grace when it comes to that. But in addition to that, there's a passage in Matthew 9. And maybe it's not as easy to see, but in Matthew 9 and verse 35, I'm going to read there. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So Jesus is teaching and preaching and healing. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I'm going to take just a minute here. Jesus saw the people and they were not in a good way. And that's what happens when you don't have an earthly pastor. You tend to become like these people were. And what were their, if we call them symptoms, what is it? It says we're faint, and I lost my place there. They fainted, so they were needing to be revived, and they were scattered abroad. And without a human leader, a pastor of a local church, that's what happens. The people tend to scatter. I know there was a church in Milwaukee. When the pastor left the church and went back to his home church in Florida, hundreds. I think it was 800 or 900 people, all dispersed. And they're not in any church, most of them today. They were first-generation Christians. They didn't know what to do with it. This man was our pastor, and then he left. And what do we have now? I've knocked on a few of their doors and talked with them, and they just never joined another church. They said, our pastor left without any notice almost and was gone, and they didn't know what to do. They were scattered. They were scattered abroad, just as though they had no shepherd. Oh, Jesus was still their shepherd, but maybe they hadn't learned the depth of that truth. And so, you know, God gives us those. And that's what Ephesians 4 and verse 11 says. And he gave, meaning the churches, some pastors. It's a gift to have an earthly pastor. It takes time to learn to deal with our Lord whom we cannot see. We read of them, we commune with them in our heart. But when we have an earthly pastor, it's a whole lot easier to keep from scattering, to keep from fainting. We can be encouraged by another man, such as ourselves. And then Jesus was so moved with compassion that he said, here's what we need to do. Let's pray. Let's pray that God will send laborers into the harvest. So then they will have a shepherd. And I think that that's an important qualification. It wasn't listed in 1 Timothy. God's pastors should have compassion. They need to care about the people. I discovered that myself. I told my wife, I said, I don't so much care who my pastor is. I need to know that he cares about me. I need to know that he loves me. I need to know that he is looking out for me. When I go to church, of course, I want to be fed from the Word of God. I would be disappointed if he preached a message from the front page of the newspaper instead of the Bible. That would be a little trouble. In Matthew 25 and verse 32, it tells us something else, another hint, that Jesus one day will separate the sheep from the goats. A good shepherd knows how to separate sheep from goats. They know real conversion from false conversion. We know someone who possesses the Lord and someone else who only professes to know the Lord and knows the difference. A good shepherd knows that. And somebody said one time, yeah, it's easy to tell the difference between sheep and goats. Sheep follow and goats butt. You know, butt this and butt that, and they're always stopping every work of God at every turn that they can. And so there's warnings in the New Testament, and there are further warnings in the Old Testament. But, we got time. 1 Peter 5:4. A few qualifications and then a few warnings again. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. Begin with verse 1. Verse 4 mentions the fact that Jesus is the chief shepherd, but it says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed, there it is again, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. Now let's just run over that quickly again. Notice it says, feed the flock of God, taking the oversight thereof. So a shepherd or a pastor is an overseer. He's looking down over the top of everything and checking everything all out in the lives of his sheep. It says, not by constraint, not by force. He shouldn't feel forced of the Lord to have to watch after a bunch of people, and he shouldn't look over the people and work on them with force himself. Not by constraint, but willingly. He should say, this is what I want to do. This is what God wants me to do. This is what I want to do. I want to pastor these people and watch for their souls. And that's another verse we didn't get to yet. But notice this warning, not for filthy lucre. It isn't, how much do I get per week? I think for a while we were hearing in a younger generation, that was one of the first questions they'd ask. If I come here as the assistant pastor, how much do I get? What are my days off? How long are my vacations? What other privileges do I have? Is there a health program? Instead of what opportunity to serve the Lord was there? And I know nobody can live without an income. I'm not saying that. But we saw that the focus was a little bit strained, I think, in that area. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Just willing to serve God, ready to serve God. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. We have seen that. Some pastors think that they're the head of a corporation and they want to bark out orders and tell everybody what to do. And the scripture is very plain. It says that's not the way we do things with the Lord, but being in samples to the flock. A good pastor leads by what he's doing. He preaches it and then he practices it. He preaches it and then he practices it. And then others will follow. They go, this is genuine. This is real. This man cares for the souls of men. I will get behind him. I'll work with him, under him, around him, and be happy. I think that many modern day preachers, wherever they went to school, whatever they learned, maybe complicated the job of a pastor. They think they need to micromanage everybody. They think they've got to run and start and move and keep going a whole bunch of programs instead of simply just feeding the flock of God. If we do anything, we must make sure that the Bible stays there in our preaching and in our teaching. And they give us a reason for why we ought to do these things. Because in verse 4 it says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, Jesus is coming back. I'm glad it's true. He shall receive a crown of glory. There's rewards to be had that fadeth not away. That's a reminder for every man of God to be the right kind of man of God, because Jesus is coming back and he's still the chief shepherd. That's not going to change. And what the rewards the Lord gives are everlasting. There's some Old Testament warnings, and maybe I'm going to skirt over them. They're just as important. Jeremiah 2:8 talks about pastors that have transgressed against me, God says. In Jeremiah 10 and 21, he says, for the pastors are become brutish, that's like a beast, no thought, and have not sought the Lord. And the result was no prosperity among the people of God. And again, flocks were scattered. The same kind of warnings and the same kind of results. Jeremiah 12 and verse 10, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. Jeremiah 23 and verse 1, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. How does that happen? Instead of feasting on Bible, there's a whole bunch of other things going on. And so these sheep ended up scattered and driven away and even not visited. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 2, it mentions those three outcomes. We've seen some of that as we've traveled around the U.S. Ezekiel chapter 34 talks about the same kind of thing. Bad shepherds, the diseased were not strengthened, the sick were not healed, the broken were not bound up. Those driven away were not brought back. We've seen that. Just let them go. Who cares? The lost were not sought. Whatever happened to learning to be a soul winner, to care for the souls of men? And these pastors in Ezekiel 34 ruled with force and cruelty. They fed themselves, but not the people of God. Oh, let's look at Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll wind down to talking about Jesus Christ just a little bit more. Hebrews 13 mentions a little bit more about our earthly pastors and our attitude toward them. And I underlined them many years ago in my Bible. We're, as Americans, we're not really very humble people, and all of us would rather not take orders from anybody. We're pretty headstrong that way. And so we need to get the Bible mind on those things. But Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them which have the rule over you. Remember our leaders in prayer. And remember what's going on in their life. Think about them. Who have spoken unto you the word of God. There it is, the feeding. The ones that are feeding you Bible. Whose faith follow. They're leading again by examples, and we follow. Considering the end of their conversation. We can see in their life if they're walking with God. Verse 17 says, secondly, about this business, obey them that have the rule over you. As long as my pastor never tells me to do something unscriptural, I ought to do everything I can to help out whatever it is in the ministry that is needed. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And finally, in verse 24, it says, salute them. You need to greet them and be a friend with them that way. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy salute you, and so forth. It goes on. Every pastor needs to be looking to Jesus, because Jesus is the perfect example of what a pastor ought to be. John chapter 10, for sake of time, I will not read all of it. But in John chapter 10, we find out what? Jesus, the shepherd, and he is the doorway to heaven, or the door to heaven. The sheep hear his voice. He instructs us. He calls us by name. He knows us personally and individually. He leads us out. He guides us safely through this tricky and sinful world that we know is a wilderness. He goeth before them, it says in verse 4. He leads, and we're right behind him, following safely and closely, I hope. Verse 5, we learn not to follow others in their false ways. Verse 9, we go in and out and find pasture. There's provision in the Lord wherever we go. In verse 10, he provides eternal life and abundant life. It can't get more full than that. Verse 11, he gave his life for us. Verse 28, we're kept safe in his hands. Verse 29, we're kept safe in his Father's hands. And no man, he says, is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What we call eternal security is a wonderful, wonderful thing, a wonderful truth. So when we have an earthly pastor, he can be in error at times. And we all have to have grace in those times. When we're without an earthly pastor, Jesus is still the bishop of our soul, the shepherd and bishop of our soul. Years ago, I think I heard it sung, but English translation of something that Bach wrote, and it was about this very topic. I actually had to look this up to discover that the poem was right. So here's the English translation. Jesus, dearest master, thou my spirit's pastor. That's what I had to look up, and yes, it's true. Shepherd of my soul, ah, how long in anguish must my heart thus languish till it gain its goal. Beacon bright, my heart's delight, far above all earthly treasure, thy regard I measure. Under thy protection, from the foe's subjection, I am ever free. Though the fiend assail me, though aught else avail me, Jesus stands by me. When in life the storm and strife high with hellish horrors heap me, Jesus safe will keep me. I hope I haven't really been too disjunct. I'm glad to be a Christian, a sheep of God's pasture. Psalms says that several times. We, the people and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. If we're missing, if we're minus an earthly pasture, Jesus doesn't quit on us. He doesn't give up. He's still there providing for us and giving us those pasture lands, those good feeding grounds, and we're fed spiritually. We stay in the Bible and we'll be all right. Psalm 100 and verse 3 even. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. There's much more. I'm just running by it. Back to 1 Peter 2:25, and we're done here. That's a marvelous verse, as I said. People, whether it's our pastor or brothers and sisters, and other sheep in the congregation can turn on us. Jesus is still there. And that's one of those verses that anchors us in troubled or troublesome times or troublous times. And I'm going to read verse 24 and 25. Verse 24 is a favorite of mine. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. We're never to forget Jesus' awful sacrifice. Terrible what he went through for us in his own body on the tree. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. We've been healed. He bore our sins in his own body. We're supposed to live right for God after that. And then our verse, for ye were as sheep going astray. Have you ever reached a point in your life when you recognized you were astray? You were out of line? You were far from God? You didn't know the Lord? A man has to discover that he's lost and he doesn't know the Lord in order to get saved and come to the Lord. You were as sheep going astray, just wandering any old way you want, instead of walking with the Lord and walking in a right path, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls, if I can add just a word to that. Whether you have an earthly pastor or you're in between them, and I know some churches have waited for years. They got a little hardened, they got used to not having a pastor. The ones that stayed, anyway. But whether you have an earthly pastor or not, you and I need to spend time developing that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that no matter what happens church-wise, your life will go smooth. You're fellowshipping and walking with the shepherd. That's what's wonderful about the verse. We're not without, what did Bach say? Our spirit's pastor, the Lord Jesus Christ. We just mentioned in the verse, Jesus died for our sins. I think maybe everybody here, maybe not, maybe everybody here already knows that the Lord died on the cross for your sins. Have you trusted him? Having trusted him, have you desire to live righteously and let him be the Lord of your life? Have you walked with him, fellowship with him, stayed in contact, in touch with him? Do you read your Bible? Do you gain your strength straight from him? And one more word. I was young in the Lord, and when I was, I just followed my pastor. I wasn't developing my walk with the Lord. It took a while to figure that out. And once I discovered that, I discovered, okay, this is my responsibility and I will do it. But what a blessed thing. Jesus is the shepherd and bishop of my soul. Let's stand to our feet, and I'd ask whoever's going to help close this service to come, and pianist to come, if we're going to sing a song here. And with heads bowed and eyes